When you want the best bits of the Pete and Kimber show, you come here to the podcast. And when you want to spoil mum for Mother's Day, you go to Chemist Warehouse. Shop the huge range of fragrances at the lowest prices. Sale ends May 12.
This is the Pete and Kimber podcast.
Warning, the following content may not be suitable for little ears.
Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, hi.
What's going on?
I'm just sifting through some sheets now that we've finished our show and all the things that we have to do. And that's it, really. Just hanging out.
Sounds fun.
Have we seen any rain yet?
No.
It's dark, though, isn't it? It's dark out there.
Oh, actually, look. There was rain. Look down there. That seems very weather chat for Perth. What are you looking at? What?
Rami just sent me. Oh, I guess you got it too, did you?
Yes. We had a bit of a joke.
Jesus.
Earlier, Christ. Like a couple of minutes ago.
That's a monster.
Because Rami sent both Pete and I a text for a read that we had to do on air. And he was like, just here's a bit of info. You need to read this text. As a joke, I pretended that I didn't get that same text that you got from Rami. And I pretended that I got a dick pic from him instead.
Yeah.
So now as a joke, he's gone and sent us both one. And you're captivated. You haven't stopped looking at it.
No, because it's just, it's a bit to the left, isn't it?
Do you think it's Rami?
Yeah, look. No, this guy's got abs.
Let's talk about this though.
What?
Have you?
And by the way, can I just say,
is the first time you've received a dick pic?
No.
Have people sent them to you? For what reason?
Willy-nilly.
Why would you have received others?
Because just mates being stupid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that something blokes do?
Yeah, we send each other dick pics. And it might not even be our own dicks.
This whole time that I thought that men sending unwarranted dick pics was, like, you know, inappropriate and not wanted, I didn't realise they just sent it to everyone.
It's 2024.
It's carte blanche. It goes to everyone.
You can't send it to women anymore. You have to send it to each other.
You can send it to women. You just have to ask.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I didn't ask for that one. But mind you, this is how, by the way, we're very safe amongst each other in this show. Like, we all have a very good, safe working relationship.
Yes.
And so this is not something I'm going to HR for, because this is a bit of a laugh between us. But I have a question for you.
Mm.
As a woman.
Yeah.
Is that an attractive penis?
The one we just received.
Yes. Is it an attractive? Is that one where you look at it and go, that is an attractive penis?
Yep.
What makes it attractive?
Well, I mean, all the normal things.
What normal things? What do you mean normal things?
Skin looks nice and it looks a good size and it just, I don't know.
It's smooth. It's very smooth. Yeah. It's almost AI. Like,
in general, it's almost AI. It's actually a finger you're looking at. No, that bit you're there looking at there, that's teeth.
Beautiful airbrushed dick.
Oh, I think we all learned something about that.
You know, one of my favourite things at the moment is
what?
Saying outlandish things and just seeing Kerrod lose it out in the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant.
What else is on the podcast today, Pete?
Oh, God. Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish is on the podcast today because we're having a chat about the fact that she's not coming to Perth or Adelaide because she's managing her carbon footprint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's being really responsible.
We
played You're Kidding Me.
Yep.
And there was a shocking year in there.
There was a shocking year.
That really surprised me.
Interesting.
Well, we talked about what do you reckon about getting changed in public change rooms, whether or not you should flaunt yourself about.
Mm-hmm.
We heard amazing audio from a loan shark.
Yeah, that was killer.
A dude who's basically loaning $100,000 to people under the table.
Yep. You have to pay me back 150 grand or I'll kill you and your family.
Yeah, and then kneecapping you if you don't pay it back. Mm.
Yay or nay, it's always a bit of fun. How do you preserve your loved ones, which you brought us this morning?
And it sounds romantic when you say it like that.
Yeah.
How did you preserve your loved ones? No. And there's soft music in the background and there's a bit of a water feature.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And there's some flowers and some soft sort of imagery.
Yep.
But really it's me talking about corpses in coffee tables.
It's amazing. Corpses in coffee tables. That is what the coffee table book should be called.
That sounds like a good idea for a cafe.
Yeah, corpses in coffee tables. That's a ripper. Ben Cousins.
Ben Cousins is sick, but he'll join us soon.
Sure he will.
He will. He's doing this shoot. I'm telling you, he's not bailing on us. He's just sick.
All right, we'll see.
And it's a bad day in the weather today in Perth, so he's just probably watching a movie on
You're
going to be okay, Ben.
Enjoy your baby.
But enjoy the podcast.
Ta-ta.
It sounds serious.
It is serious. Well, you tell... Where is he? Well, you tell me where he is.
Look, technically it's not Wednesday yet,
So
it's not Ben's Day Wednesday. Ben Cousins was meant to be joining us today because we had planned a photo shoot for him where we were going to get him to be shirtless and recreate an old photo shoot from the past. He was fine with doing it.
Mm.
Unfortunately, he's sick.
Okay. As a once-off, sure. Right? But when it's back-to-back with this...
The other reason I think I am not in the studio this morning is... In part was because I was not looking forward to reenacting that live picture that you keep bringing up on air.
Oh, yeah.
Which was last Wednesday, which was when he was meant to be here to recreate the photo shoot in the first place.
It's just coincidence. It's coincidence. Last week there was a lot going on. We couldn't do it. And then this week he's sick. He's been up front. Like he told us yesterday. So we knew in time. And he knows he's not getting out of it. I don't think he's that worried about doing it.
I think he is. I think he's freaking out.
He would just tell us. I think it's normal for him to go, I'm not looking forward to doing the shoot. Because who would be? Why would anyone be like, today's the day. Can't wait to go and like...
Well, let's be honest about something. We're all mates. Like, we've been getting to know him. But let's be really honest. Like, it's very early on in the piece.
Right.
So maybe he's not that comfortable yet. Maybe he's not. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have to say yes either. I can't force him to do the photo shoot.
Apparently he's sick. I'm going to call him.
You're going to call him now.
Yeah. 04.
Don't put it in there now. I don't want to call him now. Mm. I feel like just let him off the hook. He's sick and he'll come in when he can. I don't want him in here tomorrow if he is sick. I don't want him coming in.
Yeah, I know you don't. Yeah, but at least we know. At least we know he's not ditching us.
I don't think he is.
All right.
He's given no indication that he's ditching us.
I'm dialing.
Okay. You can be a part of this. I don't want to.
Okay,
poor guy's just trying to have a rest.
Sure. I don't even know. You know, sometimes it does that thing where it doesn't. No, it's not doing the dial tone, but it is ringing.
There's absolutely nothing happening here, Pete. How very dare you?
No, it's dialing.
We could be talking about anything right now, and what we've got is
you
dead
have
air.
Reached the message bank of 0.
Don't turn it off.
He's ditching us. He doesn't want to do the photo shoot.
He's asleep.
He's not asleep. He's as if he's asleep right now. Come on.
He's doing the photo shoot.
Rami texted him last night, late last night, was like, hey, would you mind at the very least, popping on the show this morning just so we can check in if you're sick and go, hey, mate, what's happening? How are ya? Just wanted to say hello. I think he's got cold feet on the photo shoot.
Push him down the stairs on this because you want to do the shoot yourself.
No, I've done my shoot. Went very well. Thanks for asking.
No, well, maybe you should call him up and give him some tips.
I just tried.
Encourage him.
I just tried.
He
didn't answer the phone. Why don't you give us a call? If you're throwing a sickie or if you've thrown a sickie, but I want a better reason than, oh, I'm sick. I want good, proper stories, though.
We've called in other people and you've got people playing roles and you can call them and check or you've like...
Yeah.
Proper, are you buying props?
Maybe.
You go and buy something, put your arm in a sling, make it look like you got something really going on.
Yeah, and I want proper, elaborate. Actually, if you did make it look like there was something going on, where you had to keep up the fact that you broke your leg for another 6 weeks before it was fixed and you had to go and get a cast and everything. Oh, imagine that.
Just walking around in a moon boot when there's actually nothing wrong.
Yeah. Jason in Naranda, tell us what your elaborate sickie was. What happened?
So I was... basically trying to not form work that I was taking a vasectomy, so it's more of like taking leave, saying, because I injured my back, I'm going to have further work on my back instead of actually telling them down there. So I wouldn't be basically explaining why I'm lying flat on my back with an ice pack on my groin.
Yeah,
right. And so was that they still had to give you the time off, but like
yeah.
You just lied about it.
To a degree, yeah.
I mean, it could have been more elaborate, couldn't it?
I suppose so.
Couldn't it, Pete?
I've never been in that situation before. I had a friend of mine the other day who actually said, almost like hand in hand, do you want to go and get it done together?
I have asked you so many times on this show if you want to have a vasectomy. I've said, I'll hook it up. I'll get you a whole bus of blokes. You can all go and do it together.
Yeah, he wasn't standing in front of me with a pair of scissors like you were at the time. He's going, hey, mate, I'll just get it done.
I'm not
going
to do it myself. I was just suggesting it's probably time.
Hello, Celise. Good morning.
Hello. Hello, good morning.
Elaborate sickies. You chucked one?
My husband did. Ooh. He didn't want to go to work. He was healthy. And he needed a good enough reason to take time off. So he grabbed the cat, which he's allergic to, and rubbed it all over his face. And it backfired on him because he suffered for the rest of the day because his eyes swelled up shut and everything. So
I firmly believe in that. I'm a person who, like, would never... I just don't lie if I'm not sick or anything. I wouldn't say that I was because I worry that you bring it to yourself.
Yeah. Oh, the commitment. You got to honour the commitment, don't you? Kira, good morning. Tell us about your husband and how he managed to take a whole week off.
So, yeah, my husband planned this whole thing out. We decided we wanted to go to Bali for a week, but it was very last minute. So he went to work on the Monday, was coughing a little bit, went to the doctors that afternoon, got a sick note for the whole week, and we spent the whole week in Bali.
For a cough. He went in and put on a cough and got a one-week medical certificate.
He did, but he does suffer asthma, so he just played a little bit on that. And, yeah, we went to Bali for a week.
That was
I can't believe
Bali.
It. I've just been sitting there using my asthma as something to risk my life every day. I had no idea.
You're too honest.
I could use it for a trip to Bali.
The Pete and Kimber Podcast.
Now, Pete, not so long ago, you and I did coffin therapy.
We did.
Where we laid in a coffin on our own in the dark for a few minutes with the lid on. And then when we came out, we spoke to a psychologist and they just talked about our lives and kind of to give us a new perspective on life.
Interesting. It was very deep. It was very interesting. There was a lot of tears were shed. It was very emotional. That's all on the podcast, by the way, if you want to go and have a listen.
Yeah, go back and hear it. It was really interesting. And I think at that moment I knew... I'm never getting in a coffin again. Mm. Like, I just knew. I was like, this isn't my vibe. I've told my sister I'd like to be turned to ashes. I'll be cremated. And then just she could put me in a plant pot and just take me around to whatever house she moves to in a plant. She's super creeped out by that prospect. She's like, no, I don't want to take you everywhere. That's weird. Just I don't want you just sitting in my house. And I
put a picture of your face with a big smile on that pot as well, wouldn't she? That's Arnie Kimber
the thing
over
is,
there.
There's options now. Yeah. There are different things you can do when you lose a loved one, right? And so you don't just have to scatter the ashes at sea like lots of people do. It turns out like you could convert them into tattoo ink.
Okay.
That's an option. And have them tattooed into your body. You could
safe.
Turn them into a vinyl record. For about from about $1,500 up.
Imagine
turn it into a vinyl, play your favourite song.
You had a family member that you like whinged a lot, for example. You turn them into a vinyl record and it was just
no, you attach a song
entire time.
To it.
Like what? Bohemian Rhapsody.
not something that they liked, I guess.
Celebration.
You could launch someone into space.
Can you?
Yeah. It's anywhere between, well, this is US dollars, $3,500 to $13,000, depending if you just want to go up or you want to orbit around.
What do they do? Stick you in like a satellite or put you in the rocket fuel or what?
They put you in the rocket and they send it up.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Or get yourself embalmed into a coffee table.
No, that's just
not a really
stupid.
Popular choice.
What do you mean? As in like they'd put you in a box and then they'd seal the box then they'd put resin around it
put
it on.
Like this image here where you just pop them in glass.
Oh, the hell out. It's that's like, not actually happening.
It's just a human.
Give me that.
In glass. You're not in resin because even resin breaks down, but you're kind of, you know, so just while everyone's sitting around, it's a real statement piece. People come into your place and they just see Nana in your coffee table.
That is disgusting.
It gets people talking.
That's one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. They just look like they're floating in a pool. Their arms are up.
Yeah, but it keeps everyone's memory going. And I think that people are really connected to it. When you lose someone that you love, you want to do something that kind of feels like they're still part of your life.
That's stupid. Why don't you just come have a cup of tea around Nana this afternoon? And she's just in the middle of all of you, like in this picture.
just sitting floating in resin in your coffee table. That is the dumbest thing I've ever
seen. They're not all floating. Not all of them are. Just that image is.
Oh, no, I want to put them in their favourite pose.
I've just got the worst images.
No, don't. Not, you don't think about those when we talk about Nonna. Don't.
How have you preserved your loved one? Is that the word, preserved?
What the hell are you talking about? What do you mean preserved?
It makes them sound like we're turning them into jam. Yeah. But I just, isn't
it's
it preserved? How do you preserve
their
memory?
Are you talking about their memory or their physical being?
Like what's left of their physical being? Like whatever you've got. Whether you're cremated or whether you've just got the body, like what's the deal?
Or you're in a coffee, you've put them in a coffee table.
I don't think we're going to find anyone in Australia who has
put them
in a coffee table.
Oh my
I'm
God,
not expecting someone to call up from like Highgate or from, you know, Secret Harbour and go, hey.
Yeah, they do it at Furniture Spot these days. They got 20% off.
Lauren, what have you done?
Hello.
How have you preserved your loved one?
Well, my mum actually used my dad's ashes and they turned it into a diamond.
Mm. Oh,
you
lovely.
Can send them off and it takes a little while for the process, but it turned his ashes into a diamond. You can pick whatever colour you want. And then she used both of their wedding rings to create the ring. So she's got a diamond ring.
That's nice.
That's sweet. How long were they married for, Lauren?
Oh, gosh, they were married for my whole life. Oh. I'm 32.
A while. A while.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Hey, what?
Why do you? Lauren's talking about.
It's nice.
Her beautiful father.
It's nice.
And you look bored.
All I'm saying is, if Lauren had gotten on the phone and said, "Dad is swimming in a coffee table as we speak,"
no one's going to tell us that. I know there's not going to be anyone here who's done that.
Why not? If it's a thing now.
Well, you know what? If anyone's done it though, it's going to be Stewie and Byford.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys.
Stewie, you've told us a weird story or two in your time. What's happening with you?
Okay, well, hopefully I'm not dead yet, but my kids are constantly arguing what they want to do when I do pass. I go, right, I've solved it. I'm getting cremated, put in the four little baggies, one child gets the baggie, and they can do what they want because one wants a tattoo, one wants jewelry, and one wants an urn. I go, right, fine. Four little Ziploc baggies, do what you want.
Yep, we don't need to ask what the fourth one wants.
Stewie dies and you get a baggie. You get a baggie.
How do you get those baggies, by the way? 11 o'clock at night from some rando at Karakata in a dark corner somewhere.
Oh, God. Okay, Rose in Bellevue. How are you, Rose?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We're good. What have you done to preserve a loved one?
Well, when my son passed away, the only thing I could think of was I got his ashes and I had them tattooed into my arm. I had his name tattooed into my arm with his ashes.
It is nice.
That's sweet. Rose, this interests me, getting that. So how do they do it? Do they just mix the ashes into the ink?
Yep. And then just tattoo it, yeah.
And is there any warning that they give you or anything like that? Like, or is it just mixed that finely that it just doesn't matter?
No, it doesn't matter. I didn't care. I just said, just do it.
Yeah,
and
okay.
It worked out. Yeah, it worked out for the best.
That's very nice.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to hear about your son. I could not imagine what it's like to go through that as a parent, to lose the person who's not meant to go before you.
Yeah.
I know. Mm. It's horrible.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, life goes on.
Thanks, Rose.
Thank you.
Good on you.
Thanks, Rose.
Yeah, that interests me. That's the, you know, the ashes into the ink.
Oh,
and,
mate, I would much rather learn about people's tattoos and see their tattoos than see their coffee tables.
Yeah, true.
For sure.
Make a great coffee table book, though, wouldn't it? You're a Billie Eilish fan?
Yeah, great. Love her.
Yeah? You're going to go and see her when she comes to Perth?
Well, she's not coming
That's
to
right.
Perth.
She's not coming to Perth. She's not coming. It's everything I wanted. That's the name of the song, by the way, Everything I Wanted. Mm. Great segue.
Yeah. But not coming to Perth because, like a few artists of late, just doing the East Coast and asking us to travel.
Yeah, well, the thing is, she doesn't want to be the bad guy.
I'm the bad guy.
Duh. My thoughts exactly, Billy.
Yeah. Because carbon emissions give her a bellyache. Where's my mind?
She's got a legit reason for not coming to Perth, though. Everyone else just conveniently leaves it off the tour list.
This isn't a legit reason. Come on.
It is legit.
No, it's not.
She's trying to reduce her carbon footprint.
It's dumb. It's so dumb. Why don't you reduce your carbon footprint over here as well? Like, she's offsetting. She's completely offsetting the carbon footprint of her show in Brisbane, Melbourne, and Sydney. Why can't she offset the carbon footprint of the show in Adelaide and Perth as well?
Because it's too far. Like, she's actually making it a thing. Like, throughout the entire gig, they're decreasing the single-use plastic waste. So she's doing it across the board. They're thinking about how they're serving food and what they're doing. They're going to offer discount food to people who choose plant-based offerings. If you choose vegetarian or vegan food over some of the meat offerings.
Isn't that just discriminatory?
They've got eco-villages.
Against people who like meat?
Oh, Jesus. They've got eco-villages and they've got, like, trying to encourage people to think about the planet. They want people to make it sustainable. They want you to get public transport to the gig. Like, she's trying to, across the board, reduce her environmental impact by touring.
You can't park at Optus Stadium. Like, the only way to get into Optus Stadium is via public transport. You actually can't. Everyone to get public transport to the gig. They're not putting a carbon footprint stamp on it.
People who feel passionately about this really do. Like, I remember my friend in the UK, she and I, when I was over there visiting her, she and I went to the shops to pick up some things for dinner. And we went back to the house and her husband just about lost his mind when he saw that we had bought snow peas from Mexico. And it was my fault. I put snow peas in the basket going, I think we'd like those this evening. And he was like, she looked at me and she went, oh my God, did you do that? Because they are so...
How bad did he lose his mind?
Oh, well,
when he saw that there were snow peas from Mexico in his freezer.
Well, the first thing he yelled from the kitchen was, Claire, did you buy these snow peas? As if they'd accidentally made it into the basket. And I had to be the person who went, well, no, I did. Because they offset everything they do. Like, they didn't travel as a family because he worked out how much it would take for them to offset their family trip on a train. And when they worked that out, that's how many years away their holiday was. She came back to Australia for her 40th, but hasn't been here for like 15, 20 years.
What? Yeah. Doesn't that sound annoying? Oh, that sounds so annoying. Sorry, we're over on holiday. We're in Barcelona. Sorry, everybody. We can't go to this tap-off bar just yet because I just need to work out the carbon footprint that this meal is going to cost her.
They're looking to a future for their children, and that's how they feel about it.
And everybody should be like that, right? Like we should all be like that. Let's completely calculate the carbon footprint of everything that we're meant to be doing, every single action of every day. But
that
it just sounds
summarized.
Difficult.
Oh, there was a but, was there?
There was a but.
Oh, I didn't hear that coming 4 minutes ago. Oh my God! Look, Pete, let Billie Eilish do her thing.
She's
if
doing
you're not going to
70...
do your bit, let her do it for you.
You're right. She's doing 70 other dates. She's doing 70 other dates.
Yeah. Okay.
If she really cared about the environment, she just wouldn't play.
Oh, for goodness sake. Oh my God. Get Billy on the phone.
What's Patrick?
It's Billy or Greta Thunberg. Who are we more likely to get?
Oh, I don't know. Apparently, we've got a caller here. Rami's just buzzed in my ear. Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, mate.
What's up, bud?
So, this Billy Eilish concert.
Yeah.
She's all about carbon offsetting, not coming to WA and South Australia for that exact reason.
Yeah, yeah.
But all her fans that are in WA and South Australia, they're going to fly to eastern states.
Yeah.
So she's sacrificing one jet of hers for carbon offsetting, but not the 30, 40, 50, 60 aircraft it's going to take to fly her fans over east.
You know what, Pat? That's not a bad point. That's actually a pretty good point there from Patrick.
It's not a bad point, but she doesn't just fly her on the jet and that's all she brings.
Mm.
They have trucks and trucks of roadie gear and set and stage and lighting and sound and, you know.
It's a win-win though, isn't it? Right? Because if you don't get tickets and you don't go over, you can just say, I'm an environmentalist. Like it's a win-win for fans.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Get Greta on the phone.
Nice early one this morning.
It's never too early for you kidding me.
That's right. Producer Carrots here. I believe
in miracles. Hello, Pete. Hello, Kimber.
Good morning.
Lovely to see you on this Tuesday morning. It is time for You Kidding Me. This is a game where I've made up three montages of different years. You guys need to try and guess what the year is closest to the pin, best of three. Kimber, you currently lead 3 points. It's 10-7.
Okay.
Coming back, baby.
You are coming back.
It kind of is 10-7. You timed that well.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Let's go to the first one.
Okay.
Top of the agenda tonight, documentary proof the substance at the centre of the Essendon drug investigation was not prohibited. And we danced all night.
How the money comes in, the parade comes to town. Going down Broadway is a one-way street.
So good.
I don't even remember what that's from.
Wolf of Wall Street, yeah. That movie is. And the second song was Best Song Ever by One Direction, which Kimber loved.
Look, I gave that face because it sounded like, I was like, what is this, a tribute? It sounded like a...
It is a tribute to tribute. Because it's trying to be tribute by Tenacious D.
This is a tough year.
Which also was a tribute to the best song ever.
Yes, both tributes.
This is a tough year to pick.
Peptides. This is very difficult, this one. Okay, Kimber's given me a year.
One Direction.
I think I might have gone a bit early. I don't know.
One Direction and Peptides.
Going to push you for an answer here, Pete. Okay. Essendon drug scandal, what year was it found out that they were breaching AFL code?
I'm going to go with 2014.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh, I went 2019.
Yeah, Kimber, you are quite a long way off.
Am I?
It's 2013.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. What have I done with the last decade or so?
Okay.
Well, not peptides, clearly.
Let's go to the second one.
Our customer service representative will arrange installation of an antenna or dish and a set-top unit at a time convenient to you.
Jim Carrey is... Do not go in there! Woo! Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Oh my God, such a good movie.
Kimber's given me an answer.
Was that Mr. Antenna? Was that an ad for Mr. Antenna?
That was when pay TV began in Australia, so Galaxy...
Oh,
Galaxy.
Did you guys have Galaxy?
No, we weren't rich enough for that.
Neither was I.
That's way too fancy for my family.
We had a friend who had Galaxy who was like, oh, you're so rich.
Hint, hint, I wasn't born at that time.
Oh.
Mate, you weren't born before 2010.
You're right, I am.
Are you coming up? What
95.
Oh, I said 94.
Oh, very close. Pete, you did win the first one, and you have also got the second one because it was 1995. Nailed it.
Well played.
Song, mate.
Thank you very much.
Well done. Which means that you are now 2 points behind Kimber. It's 10-8.
Yay! Let's celebrate. Have a peptide. Let's go.
Hey. What do you reckon?
Okay. It's time to answer this lady's Reddit question, right? She's asking if it's okay to get your kid off in public change rooms. You know what? You go to the public pool or something like that and you go inside and they're everywhere.
Well, it came up too because they've just moved to Australia, right? They've gone online asking because they didn't know what the Australian etiquette was.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So she goes, hi, Perth. It's nice. Huh. Everybody. What is the etiquette for getting changed in a public change room? Are you supposed to change in a cubicle or just in the open space? Partner isn't from Perth, but she got a weird stare when changing into her swimsuit for the pool, which made her feel self-conscious and unsure about if what she did was right. Thanks. People responded. Someone said, plenty of women go full nude. Others use the cubicle. Tell her to go for it and ignore the rest. Somebody said, if it's anything like the men's one, you spend as long as you possibly can fully naked. The older and fatter you are, the longer you do it.
I'm getting flashbacks to when we used to do swimming lessons at school and they'd take you down to the local pool and everyone would have to get changed afterwards. And there'd be the girls that are like trying to get changed behind a towel, which was the hardest thing to manage because your skin's sort of a little bit wet and you're trying to pull undies on that are like catching on your skin.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a bit of that. And then there'd be all these girls in the change rooms going, whatever, just you don't have to hide behind a towel. We're all girls. We're all girls. Come on, everybody just like... There's just different levels of confidence, isn't there?
Yeah, I had very low confidence when I was getting changed in the boys' change rooms. Yep.
Did you cover up?
I did. I like to be in a cubicle. I like to cover up. Which is funny because immediately when I read this,
I was like, you just go nude. It's not a problem. And then I really thought about it and went, hang on a sec, I've never done that.
And yet when we were naked at work, you could not wait to take your clothes off.
Nobody was in here.
You were trying to get them off before we even got up in the lift.
It was me in here by myself, I'll remind you. We're in separate studios.
I think that the policy in a public change room is like a get in, get out, and nobody gets hurt.
Mm.
Like, I think if you just, temporary nudity is expected. Getting changed into a bathing suit or getting out of one, I think, is expected. But, like, don't wander around like it's a bathhouse.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know, because there's people who wander around and they go and get their things and they start combing their hair. And no, that's not, I don't think that's what it's about.
Put a towel on.
Just in and out, temporary nudity. Get in, get out.
We spoke to Oscar Allen, the West Coast Eagle, who told us about what happens in their change rooms at the moment at West Coast.
Oscar, do football players still all shower naked together?
Good question. Most of us do. There is becoming a trend, jocks in the showers, which is a big no-no for me. Like it's, but generally, everyone showers naked together. But
who's the happiest one in the locker room? Who's got the biggest smile? What, who is it? It's you, isn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon he's getting around nude. He's happy.
I'd be showering in my jocks. Like the idea of just taking home a wet sack for nothing.
It doesn't feel right, does it?
It's weird. Jess in Byford, you go to the pool often. What's the etiquette?
I do. I go to the pool pretty often, and I am one of those people who will always change behind a towel. And the people behind me generally will not, and just walk around naked and freely.
Do you wish they would be covered in a towel, or do you wish that you could be naked and free?
I'm happy just hiding behind a towel, especially I find a lot of kids can be in the change room, and even when I am changing behind a towel, I have little beady eyes watching me, so.
Okay, so it's mixed bag.
Mm.
People are doing a bit of both.
What do you reckon, Larissa?
Absolutely no way. I'm with Kimber. Minimal exposure. I lived in Germany for 15 years, and I had maximum exposure, and I felt stressed out every time I went to a change room.
Why did you feel stressed out if it was such a normal thing in Germany?
Because I'm Australian, and it, for us, I don't think we're brought up that way. You know, it's really in your face, and it's you know, it's, you come out, you dry off, you don't need to stand there, legs apart, blow drying your hair, hanging out. You know, it's just like, why?
Larissa, do you get shamed in Germany if you're covering up in a towel? Do they give you looks?
No, you don't. But, I mean, I think you just find your own little corner. I mean, it's even to the point where they often don't even have cubicles.
Yeah.
And they have even open shower, like the showers is just like one room. So you don't even have cubicles for your showers.
Great.
But very common.
Right.
I think all morning I am never going to let go of this imagery of someone just sitting up on the bench with their legs apart, drying their hair.
You've never tried that? I'm not going to lie. I've tried that. Caroline in Duncraig, good morning. What's the etiquette around the public change rooms, nuding up or not?
Look, I just think people have different levels of confidence. And, you know, there's all different ages in change rooms as well, like the other lady was saying. You know, generally the older people feel a bit more comfortable because they're a bit like, I don't care anymore.
Mm.
Myself, personally, I get changed while I'm in the shower because I've got body issues, right? I've got body issues. I'm not confident getting it all out there. But, yeah, I think we should just let people do what they want and not really think about what we should be doing. Just everyone do what they feel comfortable with and just accept each other, you know.
Mm, very nice, Caroline. Would
you still be as accepting if they did what they want in the middle of a street?
No, Pete.
That's a bit different.
It's different to a change room.
Just wandering on down Roberts Road
it's
here in
Subiaco. Bathers, undies. All the same rules still apply.
Tiff in Baldivis, bring us home here. What do you reckon about getting your kid off in the public change room?
I reckon let it all out. Let it all out.
Tiffany, are you a bit older?
I am.
Does this story ring true?
I just think, you know, before I might have been a bit shy, and then now I'm just like, I really don't care. Just let it out.
Mm. Well, you know, Tiffany, as my girlfriend says to me, she's in her 60s now, and she said, if I had any idea how babin' I was when I was in my 40s or even, you know, at any age, I would have just been getting it all out. She was so judgmental of herself, and now that she's older, she was like, well, I wasn't getting any better. I should have done it while I could.
No, absolutely. I just think, you know, you hide away with so many things. I just think, just get changed. You're just getting changed. If somebody wants to have a quick look, go for it.
Yep.
Go for it. Just putting my clothes on and getting dressed.
You just worry when they pull the notebook out and they start writing down numbers. Out of 10, out of... You know what's interesting? No blokes called.
No.
Where are the blokes piling in on this?
No, they just get changed by the car in the car park.
Came across some amazing television. UK breakfast television, actually. Mm. One of the interviewers managed to get a hold of a loan shark. You know what a loan shark is?
I mean, you hear people throw the term loan shark around, but essentially it's like someone who's going to give you money on their own kind of arrangement. It's not like a registered financial institution.
No, absolutely
not.
It's
like, you need some money? I've got some money, okay. But you're going to pay it back. Very high interest.
Yep. They're the people that you go and see them in the middle of the night when there's nobody else, right? It was on Good Morning Britain, and I've got some of the audio to play you here. The guy is amazing. Like, he was in the full, like, gangster loan shark, I'm going to remain anonymous get up. Like, he had his face covered, had a big black hoodie on, had glasses on.
Oh, so they can't identify him.
Can't identify him. That's the only way they managed to get him.
Because the thing is, there's so much money in this business, loaning people money. Do you know, even at a registered financial institution, even if you weren't doing this underground, 80% of people who use these kind of services where it's like payday loans or like loans where you know, have high interest money to get it back straight away.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
80% of people re-borrowed within 30 days.
What? Is that right?
Because they can't afford
to pay
it back.
So you just
get stuck
and deeper
into a loop and it just keeps going and going.
Well, I suppose the worst that happens with those people and those registered institutions is that, you know, ultimately, if you can't pay it back, you might end up in jail. Who knows?
Yeah, you go bankrupt or you go, yeah.
Loan sharks, it could be a lot worse. So, yeah, take a listen to this audio, right? So here's the first bit here. He goes, why people go to this loan shark and how much they ask for and how much the interest in and stuff like that.
If you lend money out, why don't you lend money? But legally, like I do.
The people that I lend money to, they can't come to you for money. They can't go to the normal route.
So if I borrowed a couple of hundred pounds off you, what would I end up paying you back over a year?
50%, 20% on anything that's late.
What's the most you have lent somebody?
100,000.
And how long did you lend that over?
6 months.
And how much did the person have to pay you back?
150,000. And it saved them their house.
And it saved them their house. Well, I suppose
they
did
get an extra 50 grand in 6 months.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, I kind of thought, I heard about that and I went, 6 months, they couldn't pay their mortgage. They were about to lose their house. They needed $100,000, then had to pay it within 6 months to 150 grand. Who else are they borrowing money from to make that happen?
Well, exactly.
It's a weird one, right? Anyway, he goes on to talk about how he actually vets people, figures out whether or not these people are good for the money so he can loan them.
I need to make sure that they can pay the money back first and foremost. There's certain people that for me that can vouch and say, yeah, he's good. I take their word for it. You know, generally 5,000, 10,000, all depends on what they need it for.
So if somebody's borrowed £50,000 and they couldn't afford to pay it back, what happens next?
So the first step, we contact them, yeah? And we explain their situation to them. You haven't paid, you need to get this paid up to date. Yeah, if it's ignored and they haven't got it paid, then we'll go to pay them a visit. We'll knock on the door, we'll speak to them politely and tell them this is what's going to happen. You know, not messing about, this is what is going to happen if you don't get this money paid. And 9 times out of 10, it's not at their home. We deal with things away from the house.
Politely.
Politely, very politely. I mean, it all comes in the prospectus that you get at the beginning of the...
I don't know if you know, but you currently owe us some money and it seems you've omitted to pay that.
Yeah,
and we were just reminding you.
Yeah.
Politely, and that they, you owe us some cash.
They go a bit further to say what happens, you know, if they don't pay them back. Like, the interviewer really presses them on it.
What's the worst thing you've ever done to somebody that hasn't paid?
They've always paid. In the end, they've always paid. But, yeah, we've had to make physical contact with people, put it that way.
So you've had to hurt somebody?
You could say that.
Are you worried about getting caught?
I don't get up in the morning and today I'm going to do this, I might get caught. I get up in the morning and think, I've got to go to work. Same as you.
Just got to go to work.
It's just, it's wild. Like, we've talked about this, you know, like there's a lot of people in trouble and stuff financially these days. And just, I don't know how bad it has to get that I would ever put myself in as scary a situation as going in the middle of the night to a loan shark. I just couldn't imagine it. It just sounds too freaky. These people sound too scary.
Oh, I mean, he does sound scary. I understand why. But I don't know, like maybe it might help you if you just think of him more of like a loan shark. Do-do-do-do-do-do. A loan shark. Do-do-do-do-do-do. A loan shark. Does that help?
Yeah.
At all?
Yeah, no, that's
a loan shark. Woo!
That just sounds like fun, doesn't it? 50%, yeah, not a problem. I'll sign that off. You might kill me. Yeah, absolutely.
Pete and Kimber's yay or nay.
Yay or nay. I've got a couple of topics here for you. Give me your thoughts, your honest thoughts, and make it quick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
First one, nice and light, the death penalty.
3, 2, 1.
Yay.
Wow.
Mate, I know that might sound controversial to some, but I think in particular, we've seen this week that there is good reason for it, I reckon.
Mate, there are bad, bad eggs out there, and I don't have any intention of using taxpayer money to just keep them hanging around.
That is very true. Yeah, I thought about that as well myself. I watch a lot of true crime documentaries lately, and I was thinking, why don't we have this in Australia?
You know? I mean, I'm sure they've got their reasons, but yeah. I think some people might fit into that category.
Honestly, right. Like tell ask that question to anyone who's had to deal with the wrong side of,
yeah,
you know, like, yeah, anyway.
Absolutely. Second one, listening to music out loud in public.
3, 2, 1.
Nay. Definitely nay.
Nah, yay. Share it with the world.
Yeah, exactly, Pete.
Just imagine that, like today. Today's a great day for it, right? Get off the train. You're just walking into your work, CBD, and everybody's like, and all of a sudden,
hell yeah.
Oh, I mean, you know, flash mob.
Flash mob. Yeah. This is the thing. We don't do flash mobs. When's the last time you noticed that we had a flash mob? It's because the left has come out and they've gone, we don't want people to play loud music on speakerphone anymore.
No, it's because if we flash mobbed every time we heard someone playing music without their headphones, we'd be flash mobbing all the live long day.
Imagine those people that get told off on public transport for doing this by some like old cranky
Stop
lady.
It. Exactly. He deserved it. No one needs to hear that.
Kimber's done this before, that's why.
Well, you know, he was playing rubbish.
What was he playing?
That song I hate.
What song you hate?
Which Celebrate.
Celebrate.
Good times. It's the worst.
It's the worst song I think that's ever been written.
Not. It is. Abs, you tell that to Cool and the gang.
I won't. I have no intention
of... Yeah, you wouldn't, would you?
No. You know, you're trying to look for it. I know you...
I'm not trying to look for it. It's always ready.
Get out.
And now with our giant novelty orange sunglasses.
Stop forcing me to celebrate. I'll celebrate in my own time.
Love you, Death Star.
You can't make me do this.
Let's go.
We're going to have a good time tonight.
Chemist Warehouse, here to help you spoil mum this Mother's Day. Find big brand fragrances at the lowest prices.